Good morning, and welcome to Uncle Paul's Jazz Closet. This is your host, Cindy McGurl, in your local radio show about jazz drummer Paul Modian. And today I have a special show. I postponed it from last week, and that is the compositions of Paul Modian, D through I. We might not quite get there, but I'm excited that we have a special guest in the studio today. Filmmaker Michael Kelly is making a documentary about Paul Modian, and he came up to Maine to do some filming. He's actually filming the podcast. And say hello, Michael.
Hello, Michael. Hello, Cindy. Thank you very, very much for inviting me to visit Uncle Paul's Jazz Closet.
It's great to have you on the show. And Michael lived near Paul on Central Park when he lived on Central Park West, which was for many, many years. And he followed Paul around and filmed him for about 10 years, would you say?
Yes, just about 10 years.
And he's got great footage of Paul playing in concert and also just a lot of hanging out with Paul kind of film clips. So I think it's going to be a really great movie. And I'm excited that he's editing it and putting it together for hopefully release next year or so. Is that what you're thinking? Or?
Yes. The plan is to edit for the next 6 months and start submitting it to major festivals next January.
Yeah, and Michael lives in Yonkers now, and so drove all the way up here in that summer traffic. But it was worth it, I think, because so beautiful here.
It really, really, really is. I want to come back to Maine more and more.
So I want to thank my sponsor, the Camden Conference, for helping bring the show on the air. And we're going to start off the show with Etude from the album Psalm, 1981 ECM release.
Thank you. I'm going to play with a little more feeling this time.
Yeah, please do, goddammit.
Fantastic.
You just heard two versions of Phantasm. The last one is from Keith Jarrett Mysteries, but it's originally from the Baya Blue album that came out in 1977. And then the first version was Take One, which didn't make it to the original album, but which is on the Mysteries album. Keith Jarrett on piano, Dewey Redman on tenor saxophone, Charlie Hayden on bass, and Paul Modian on drums. And at the top of the set, we heard Etude from the ECM album Psalm with Joe Lovano on tenor saxophone, Billy Drews on alto, Bill Frizzell on guitar, Ed Schuler on double bass, and Paul Modian on drums. And in the studio today, playing from the new composition book that's going to come out of Paul's music. I'm pretty excited today. I signed off on the proof, so that should be in my hands next week. And then the book will be printed right after that. So, so I'm going to do a series of shows playing the compositions that are in the book, which Steve Cardenas very carefully listened to recordings, and we made sure that that the written composition matches the recordings. So if you're a musician, you can look at the music and listen and then hopefully do your own thing with it. So, and my guest in the studio today is filmmaker Michael Kelly. Do you have a name for your business, for your film business?
My company is Aquapio Films, and the working title for our film is called Motion in Motion. And it follows Paul for those 10 years that you talked about earlier, where I was fortunate enough to get to know Paul, but also travel with him to and from recording sessions and live gigs. And there's many backstage moments, backstage at the Village Vanguard and Iridium and in concert venues like Caramore and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. But I think the greatest part is sort of just sort of the regular Paul on the street.
Absolutely. Paul, yeah, interacting with his neighbors or his doormen and just like you said, the regular Paul.
Yeah.
If there is such a thing as a regular Paul, because Paul was such an amazing person as well as a musician and just a wonderful spirit. And in our film, Bill Frizzell talks about, you know, how Paul lifted so many other people up. And that's been my experience when I got to know him. And I think most people who had the fortune to get to know Paul, to meet Paul, one of the remarkable things about him is Paul, you couldn't really define his age. And the first time I was lucky enough to interview Paul, we met, and I completed the interview, and I was just so fascinated by this person that I went home and I Googled him, and this was back in 1999 when the internet was still a little sketchy, and up came all this information on Paul in these photos, and I called my wife in from the other room. I said, there's something wrong here, and she said, what? I said, I just interviewed this guy, And this, here on the internet, it says he's 68 years old, but the guy I interviewed was, like, in his 50s. So I couldn't make sense of that. And I was like, wow, you know. And then I realized this guy is really 68 years old. And it was from about that point on that I followed him off and on for the next, you know, 10, 11 years.
He was in amazingly good condition. He really took care of himself. He watched what he ate. He exercised. And just being a drummer, I guess, is really good exercise. Using all your chest muscles is really good for your lungs. And, so.
And Paul was the kind of guy that he moved. He just liked to move. And I told you a story about we were leaving a club one night, and he decided that it would be impossible to get a taxi, so he dives right into the subway. And that's how Paul was. He just kept moving all the time.
Yeah, when I brought my daughter to visit one time, and I don't know, she was maybe five or something, and, you know, Paul lived on the 12th floor of his apartment building, and he would race us down or up. We would take the elevator, and he would take the stairs. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Next up, we have another version of Phantasm. And this one is from the album Psalm. Oh, wait a minute. I put the wrong CD in. Hold up, Michael, why don't you tell us some more? Tell us about the birthday party. We watched a little clip from that.
Yes. Part of the film will include Paul Motion's 75th birthday party at the Village Vanguard, which was a surprise party, of all things. And Paul was booked into the Vanguard that week as a regular gig with his trio 2000 plus one, featuring Greg Osby on saxophone and Larry Grenadier on bass and Masabumi Kikuchi on piano. And this was all arranged by Sarah at ECM Records, which she really did something amazing. So everybody was at the Vanguard that night. And the set was playing as usual, and then when it finished, Paul, you know, finished, and he got up and did his normal introduction of the musicians, but then he was completely surprised, as you will see on the film, that Lorraine Gordon and one of her people starts approaching the stage with a giant birthday cake, brightly lit with candles, and it was an amazing night from there on out, because Paul got to everybody that Paul... Sarah really reached out. She brought you and your cousin.
She did a fantastic, fantastic job. I mean, she's a wonderful person. Paul really loved her.
She really is wonderful. And she had brought so many people together, not just Paul's close personal friends and family, but other friends like Buck Henry and other musicians. It was a night to remember, to say the least, at the Village Vanguard.
When Lorraine brought the cake up, what Paul said, it was really funny.
She brought the cake up, and he was surprised, and he says, "What's this?" And she says, "It's your birthday, man." And he goes, "My birthday was last year."
Okay, so we're queued up now correctly, and this is another version of Phantasm from Psalm. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Fiasco. I would say one of Paul's more famous songs from It Should Have Happened a Long Time Ago, a 1985 ECM release. Joe Lovano, tenor saxophone, Bill Frisell on guitar, Paul Modian on drums. And before that, we heard the version of Phantasm from Psalm with Joe and Bill and also Billy Drews and Ed Schuller. So I want to remind you that you're listening to Community Radio, WRFR, and streaming online at WRFR.org. Otherwise, we're out of our little station in Rockland, Maine. And today I have a special guest in the studio, filmmaker Michael Kelly, who is making a documentary about Paul Modian. And it's been sitting on the shelf for like 5 years or so since Paul passed away, and now you've got it out again this year to edit it. So
yes. When Paul passed, many, 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 many people were just so surprised, because all we knew about Paul was the guy who ran every morning in Central Park and played every night at various venues. And so when Paul suddenly was sick and passed away, my first reaction was, okay, now I have to finish this film. But as I was looking at the footage, it was really, really hard to revisit it back then. And I got busy with a couple of other projects. And then late last year, in 2015, I brought the drive, got the drive, plugged it in, and started searching through the material. And I was just astounded with what I had. I guess when you're doing it, you don't really get the sense that you of what you have. And as I went through it, it was just some amazing moments with Paul and some amazing performances. And so I made the decision then that I was going to finish this film and spend all of 2016 organizing it, prepping it, start the editing in the fall, and have a finished film by next early 2017.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. I'm really excited about it. And yeah, I think it's going to really give a picture of Paul. I mean, it's, yeah.
And I think a lot of documentaries can't take advantage of their subject in the moment. A lot like if someone wants to do a documentary about Bill Evans or anybody from that period, they have to rely on archival footage and basically just testimony from people. But mm-hmm. this film, very much like Straight No Chaser, the Thelonious Monk film, you actually see, and that's why the working title is Motion in Motion, or Modian in Motion.
Yeah.
I think it was Paul more than anything. Paul was smart enough to see what was going on once he saw some of the initial footage. And, you know, I would be at home, and Paul might call me up and say, hey, I'm going, you know, so-and-so, you want to go for a ride? And if I was free, it was like, yeah, grab the camera, run down the street. I was fortunate enough, I lived on 106th Street, around the corner from Paul, who lived between 106 and 107 on Central Park West. And Paul was just, you know, like his music, so open and so free and so smart.
Nice testimony there. Next up, we have 5 Miles to Rentham from the story of Mariam. And that Rentham is the town where Paul's cousins lived when he was growing up. And they used to travel there often on Sundays and have picnics and stuff with his aunt that I was telling you about, Yefki, that he really liked, who had the same laugh as Paul. There was maybe even more so. She was always smiling and laughing. And
thank you. Thank you.
Okay, you just heard Folk Song for Rosie from Leur Voyage, 1979 ECM recording, Paul Modian on drums, Charles Brekeen on saxophone, and J.F. Jenny Clark on bass. Rosie was Paul's sister, the one who passed away young. And before that, we heard 5 Miles to Wrentham from The Story of Mariam, with Joe Lovano, Jim Pepper, Bill Frisell, Ed Schuller, and Paul Modian. So I have time probably just for one more song, but we have a few minutes we can chat before the top of the hour anyway, and then we'll be back with more. So tell us a little bit about how you first met Paul.
I had moved into the neighborhood where Paul lives in Manhattan in 1990, the end of 89, and the neighborhood was still a little rough back then. Where Paul was on Central Park West, but as you moved towards Manhattan, Columbus, and Amsterdam, there were a lot of drug gangs on most corners. There were, you know, prostitution, and it was pretty lively, gunshots and things like that. But this is one of those classic stories of a neighborhood that is gentrifying and gentrified really quickly. And so as I moved in, I thought maybe I should document some of this. You know, there was this old, the first cancer hospital ever built in this country was a block away, a half a block away from Paul, and it was, there were holes in the roof, it had been burned, over the years it had really taken a lot of punishment. And as the neighborhood started to gentrify and people started to build this stuff up, I started to film this. So I was filming that structure as they were rehabbing it. I was filming and getting interviews with people in the neighborhood, and I discovered that my neighborhood was just so rich with jazz history. It was incredible, from the Latin jazz period of the 40s and 50s and all the way through. And I met this drummer, Barry Altschul, and he lived about a block and a half from Paul. And I interviewed him, and he turned me on to the idea that Max Roach lived a half a block away, and Elvin Jones, and all these people. So I was thinking of doing this segment called Drummer's Row, which would feature Elvin Jones, Max Roach, Barry Altschul, and Paul Motion, all living on this stretch of Central Park West. And so I actually just looked Paul up in the phone book, and I had my producer call him up. And we were down on the street shooting video at that time, and Paul just came down. And I noticed this guy just standing there watching me, and I was like, I was like, oh, thank you so much. But I really didn't know anything about Paul Motion.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know anything about him. And I actually, it was a little awkward, the first meeting. And Paul was, his sense of humor just, shined right through. It just came through in such a way that while we were talking, I was like, oh, so who did you play with? And of course, as this barrage of things, and it wasn't even a barrage, it was just like, oh, I played with Bill Evans and Keith Jarrett, and he's going on, and I'm just sitting there going, oh my God, and the awkward part came in with he said he had played with Bill Evans, and I said, I have a Bill Evans album. It's Live in Paris. Are you on that? And he said, no, I'm not on that. And I said, are you sure? And I felt like, oh, I'm such a moron. This guy is never going to want to talk to me ever again. And so after that interview, I went into the editing studio, and I put together the piece that I was working on, and it got accepted into the independent film market. And I ran into Paul on the street, so now I could recognize him. And I just happened to have a video cassette with me. I handed it to him. And when he went home, he called me and he said, hey, this is really good. And he actually came to the independent film market with me.
Oh, cool.
As we screened that piece.
All right, I'm going to go to the song, another version of Folk Song for Rosie from Mysterioso. And then we'll continue this conversation after the top of the hour.
Thank you.
and Uncle Paul's Jazz Closet is back.